Good morning. Welcome. Good afternoon. Welcome back to the office, wherever you happen to be in the world. Thank you for coming and being with us here today. Today's presentation and podcast is going to be hands-on with QuickBooks Online and other small business accounting software, part two. In today's class, what we're going to be doing is that we are going to be taking a detailed look at the QuickBooks Online Accountants Program, or the QBOA program. QBOA is a unique aspect of the QuickBooks Online program, specifically designed for professional accountants, bookkeepers, tax professionals, and really kind of any type of financial professional that is utilizing QuickBooks, either for themselves, like in the context of their exact firm, or in the more often in the context of their clients. So in today's presentation, what we're going to take a look at is what this program is, how it functions, and all the unique features and functions and quirks and benefits that come along with utilizing this different this type of application. Now, we're going to take a look at the QuickBooks Online Accountants Toolbox, which is a unique set of features that make managing client files and working with client data a little bit easier and more effective. And we're also going to talk about the Firm Center, which is the hub of business within QuickBooks Online for both the firm as well as the client files. It's a way of adding staff. It's a way of getting an access to the firm books and records if they choose to use QBO, and ultimately how we interact with our client data files as well. We're also going to take a look at what it means to bring data in and out of QuickBooks Online. There's lots of different import and export methods. I'm going to give you a couple of tips and tricks and different things that you can use to get your data in and out of QuickBooks, which is a useful tool if you are managing your client books and records. Knowing how to effectively get your data in there as well as get your data out, and some of the best practices that come with utilizing QuickBooks Online, we're going to discuss and take a look at as well. I'm also going to talk about the QuickBooks Thin Client, which is a app-based approach to utilizing QuickBooks. If you don't know about the QuickBooks app, this is definitely a hidden secret, and it's something you should definitely be using because it could speed up your access to your client records and your firm records in a lot of different ways. It's a really useful and powerful tool to use. All right, so that's what we're going to discuss today. I do want to remind you, if you happen to be a financial professional, you can earn CPE credits for listening to today's podcast. It's super simple. After listening to today's podcast, whether you're listening to it live or after the fact on your streaming platform of your choice, as a reminder, we are streaming on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and more. Whenever you happen to be listening to it, whenever you're done, head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code QB3T. Again, that is course code QB3T. Take a short 5-question quiz and you'll earn a certificate for completion with 1 CPE credit. And you'll be well on your way for maintaining your license going forward. So again, head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code QB3T and earn a credit for today's podcast. Alrighty, so signing up for the QuickBooks Online Accountant Program is actually really, really, really simple. And what's really kind of cool about it is that almost everybody qualifies to join this cool program. There's not a lot of specific requirements other than that you should be a financial professional, according to the terms of service set forth by Intuit. However, the term is pretty loose in terms of what that means. You don't necessarily have to be a CPA or an enrolled agent, you know, just somebody who's acting on behalf of the client in doing books and records for them. So whether you're a payroll professional, whether you're a bookkeeper, whether you're a CFO or a controller, you can sign up for QBOA and you can start utilizing this program for yourself. Now, what's awesome about it is that it is 100% free, F-R-E-E. It's super simple to sign up and there's no cost that goes along with it. Now, what's awesome about this is that, in my opinion, it is a no-brainer for you to consider joining because, again, there's no fee that goes along with it and there's a lot of value that can come up from utilizing it. One of the really cool values that come up along with this is the fact that when you sign up for the QBOA program, you also get for your firm or for yourself, if you're an individual or solo practitioner, you get the option of using a QBO license for yourself or for your firm. I think the reason they're doing this is to kind of give you some familiarity and give you the option to start learning the application. And what no better way of learning than to utilize your own existing firm records for learning how to use the application itself. So, you know, just signing up for the program gets you access and gets you a free copy of this that you can use for, again, your own personal records, or you could use them if you are managing the records for your firm or your business for that matter. So no brainer in terms of why you might want to choose to use this. Now, the other thing that comes along with this is that when you sign up for the QBOA program, you also get access to your clients' books and records for those who are obviously using the QBO accounting platform. So, you know, let's say, for example, that I have two or three different clients that are using QBO. Well, without the QBOA program, they would have to set me up as a user, and then I would have to keep those credentials and then log into their books and records, you know, when I would want. But I would end up having, for three different companies, three different sets of logins for me to interact with. And on top of that, you know, there's all these other issues around sharing user accounts and security. And generally, sharing user accounts is very discouraged because it's not very secure in terms of how you would do this. Well, with the QBOA program, the client doesn't actually have to create an account for me. All they have to do is associate their client account with my firm, or if I'm a solo practitioner, with my individual account. And in doing so, then they will pop up in my client dashboard, and then I can log into their books and records with one click. They don't have to create an account. They don't have to create separate security. You know, things like two-factor authentication can be a bear to deal with when you're sharing credentials with other people. But using the QBOA program, that's not a problem at all. I have my credentials, and with my credentials, I can log into each of those three accounts that I personally manage. Now, when I'm in the account itself, I get access to the accountant's toolbox. We're going to take a detailed look at that here in a little bit, but the accountant's toolbox gives me the ability to be able to do certain accountant level actions that the client themselves could not do. For example, batch reclassifying of transactions is something that the client can't directly do, but using the QBOA toolbox, I as the accountant can do that. So inevitably at the end of the year, when it comes time to either push out the compilation statement, or it comes time to do the tax return, you know, and I'm reviewing the client books and records, inevitably something will not be correct. I mean, that's how it always is. They will have put a bunch of transactions in supplies, but in reality, they should be reclassified to some other account in the general ledger. Well, instead of having to go account by account and transaction by transaction, using the batch reclassification tool, I can easily find those transactions and then move them from one account to the other. Or if we're using classification codes or locations, I can do the same thing. So it saves the accountant a tremendous amount of time in reconciling transactions, fixing transactions, and just generally doing the stuff that we would normally do for our clients. It's a much better approach, certainly, than having to do this transaction by transaction. Now, in the materials here, you'll see that I've indicated there are two different URLs. I know we have a fair number of folks spread across North America, from Canada and all the way up in Nova Scotia, all the way down here to San Diego, California. So we have two different links for you. If you're in the United States, you're going to sign up through the USA Intuit website. And if you happen to be from Canada, I've got the link here for you as well. But it's very important you sign up in the correct country where you are located. Canadian people can't necessarily see USA people, and vice versa. So make sure you sign up with the correct account for what you're using. Let's go ahead and switch over and take a look at the Intuit website and take a look at what it means to kind of navigate the site and see some of the things that are in here. So the base URL for looking at the accountants program is quickbooks.intuit.com/accountants. They've got some great general information in here with respect to you know, what the QuickBooks Accountants program is. We can, for example, explore some of the features that they offer around workflow, around clients. They've got a number of really great training and support documentation objects here. You know, they've got resources, for example, on how to grow your firm and how to utilize some of the firm management techniques that are provided by Intuit. And you can kind of go through here and get a sense of the different features and products offered inside of QuickBooks, whether it be the accounting features and functions, the payments, payroll, time tracking. It's all right here. Now, the link that you're looking for to get started with the QuickBooks Online Accountants program is going to be this just get started button right here. Okay, so if we go ahead and we click this get started, okay, they're going to have some information with respect to what the program is, you know, how to sign up for this. They've got some documentation with respect to some workflow that they recommend when you're just getting started with this application. For example, what it looks like to add your first client, how to connect QuickBooks Online to the different resources that you might be using. You know, so for example, if you're using some of the Pro Series and other Intuit tools, such as TurboTax and other for your clients, they'll have some information about what it looks like to connect those services. And then they've got some additional, more advanced resources as well. Now, I do want to draw your attention to the fact that the QBOA program is not the same as the Pro Advisor program. You do not need to be a Pro Advisor to utilize the QBOA program. Any financial professional will do. The Pro Advisor program has fees that come along with it and certain requirements with respect to maintaining your Pro Advisor status. The QBOA program is in addition to, it's separate from the actual Pro Advisor program. Okay. Now, to get started with this, we're going to go ahead and choose this sign up option here, and it's going to take me over to just a general sign up form. And it's pretty simple in terms of what they require. They don't even ask for a credit card. So just go ahead and populate in here your email address, your first name, your last name, your email, create a password. They're going to confirm the account with you. And then once that's done, you're off to the races. The QBOA program is essentially set up. And now you could just go ahead and log in. And once you're logged in from here, this is going to be where you can go ahead and start utilizing your firm and client dashboard. And this is what that firm and client dashboard looks like. More on that here just in a moment. Okay. So let's go ahead and switch gears for a second. Let's go ahead and have our first review question for the day. Alrighty. So what is the current price of the QBOA program? What is the current price of the QuickBooks Online program? Is it $19 per firm per month? Is it $29 per firm per month? Maybe it's a yearly subscription, $100 per year, maybe. Or optionally, free. There is no fee to join the QBOA program. Okay. Well, the correct answer here is free. There is no cost to join the QuickBooks Online program. This is a free program provided by Intuit for financial professionals of all types. And anybody can sign up, anybody can utilize it. And in signing up, you get access to all of the advanced features that are available to financial professionals. And you also get a free copy of QBO to use for your firm, or if you're a solo practitioner, to use in your life. Now, once you start in the QBOA program, there are a couple of major functionalities that you should be familiar with. Okay. There is the firm dashboard, and then there is the your books section of this. The firm dashboard really kind of is divided into a couple of different places. It is divided, for example, into managing your team, managing your pro advisor program, managing your clients, and all the different features and functions that are related to each of these subsections. So let's go ahead and take a look at first a tour of the functionality with respect to what is available inside of this dashboard and kind of familiarize you with the overall navigation of the platform itself. And then let's make a distinguishment between the practice section and your books section, which is firm management versus kind of client management. You know, firm management being your books and records, client management being client books and records. Then we're going to take a look at what it looks like to add a client and what it looks like to add a team member. But let's go ahead first and just kind of take a detailed look at what it means to utilize this program and kind of getting familiar with the navigation. Now, with QuickBooks Online, the only major difference between the QBO and the QBOA program is that clients have a little bit of a different view than what you will see. As a practitioner, you're going to have this section over here called Your Practice, and your clients will not, okay? Now, your clients will have everything pretty much that you see down here over in your books. They're going to have a dashboard section, they're going to have a banking section, expenses, so on and so forth. These are going to be the features and functions that they will see. Now, you will, for example, have the ability to manage other clients. You'll have the ability to manage other team members. Likewise, you'll have a dashboard that will give you the options to be able to see the work that is available to you. So this is a great way, for example, of being able to manage the different accounting features and functions that you would do typically for your clients. So compilations, you know, whether you're doing a tax return, you can use this as a workflow management tool and set up different templates. You can manage different requests. You can set up different projects that are all kind of inside of this. And it's a very repeatable and very reusable work. Additionally, if you happen to have a team behind you, you could also associate different aspects of projects and templates to those different people. Okay. We also have this apps section here. Now, our clients will also have something similar to this. This is where it's listed with us. We're going to dive into the apps section in its own video, looking at many of the different features and functions that come from third-party providers inside of the QuickBooks Online platform. But in this apps section, this is going to be where we can add all the different tools and features that kind of complete QuickBooks as a full business management solution. So there are a variety of third-party applications for things like customer relationship management, managing employee expenses, even firm. So full practice management, workflow management solutions are what we can find here. We can also find things for like credit card processing and management with PayPal, Stripe, Square, others. But there's also that are not directly part of QuickBooks Online, but are available as a third-party solution. You can easily plug into either your or into your client books and records. So it's kind of cool. On the left-hand side, this is where we're going to see all the major features and functions, whether they be for your practice or and by your practice, it could be a little confusing, but when they mean by the practice being a client in that way, or they be for your firm books and records itself, you get as part of the QBOA a set of records that you can keep for yourself. You get your own license QBO. And down here under your books, the full version. And over the series of several videos coming up, we're going to out our your option as if we were doing this for a business to kind of give you a sense of the major features and functions inside of this application. You know, whether it be, for example, managing banking and setting up online banking, whether it be setting up payroll, whether it be running reports, manning invoices and records for our clients, this would be what we would do. And the actual way that we do this, same whether we're doing it in client records or we're doing it for ourselves. The actual work of this is the same. Now, so the left-hand side is where you're going to find all your features and functions. Now, there are a couple features up top, navigation features that you should be familiar with. Over here, we have what's called a hamburger menu, or sometimes referred to a pancake menu. That little button will go ahead and move that menu over to the left, hiding, giving you a little bit more space to work. So you've got that option. And you've also got some other things up here in the navigation, which are useful too. Up here, you'll notice go to QuickBooks. Okay. Now, once you start adding different client records, this is where you would see the different clients inside of your firm. And from coming up here, this is where in one click, roughly, we can immediately access a client's set of records. So if we wanted to, for example, dive into client A, client B, client C, we would see those listed right here. And in one click, we can go ahead and access those client records. Okay. We have our accountant's tools. Okay. This is the accountant's toolbox that I was referring to earlier. And these are special tools that are only available to financial professionals, including my personal favorite, this reclassify transactions. Okay. We're going to take a look at that here in a minute using the sample file from Intuit. Up here at the top, we've got our help. So if we need additional resources from Intuit, their documentation is really robust and great in terms of finding transaction, how to avoid something, how to find something, run a particular report. We can go up here in the help. We can search for ticket transaction as well. So we could search for customers, we could search for vendors, we could search by amount, we could search by address. The search is really robust. We also have our notifications. So different things will pop up at different times. For example, when we're updating certain aspects of the program for online banking. We also have our gear box. This is going to be where we can access some of the, whether they be, for example, chart accounts, and this would be in the text of firm book and records, whether general ledger, we're setting up our chart of accounts. This is going to be how we access our lists and setting this up as well. Okay. And I haven't done any setup on our firm records. And we're going to look at that as we continue to work through this series. Likewise, this would be where we would set up our products and services, as well as setting up recurring transactions. On the right side of this, you'll see our tools menu. This is going to be how we can import in data to QuickBooks Online. So we're going to take a look at that here in a minute. And we're also where we would set up our budgeting, how we would reconcile, access our audit, and much more. The far right of this, you'll see your company. In your company, many of the features and functions you would see are mirrored here under your practice, but are also available over here. So if we want to, for example, an HR team access, and this is a super useful one, the sample company record. So remember that that option is here for you. This would be how we would interact with it. Lastly, our individual profile. So this right now says I'm logged in as the master account. To see the master account profile for myself. Okay, I could configure example like my pro advisor profile if I'm listed in that directory. And if I want to, I can also just come over here to the far right. Okay. And this would be where I make other ass of my Intuit account, Intuit profile, as well as log out. So that's the navigation with respect to how we would interact with this particular tool. And let's go ahead and talk about how we might add a client file and get client started inside of this application. Okay. So what we want to go ahead and take a look at here is what it would look like to get a client set up. Okay. There's a couple of different ways that this can happen. We can set them up as the firm, or the client can set themselves up on their own. But if we choose to set them up, there's a couple specific things that we should be aware of. Okay. So there's some different billing things that we can do. We can either have Intuit bill us, or they can bill the client directly. And there's some benefits that go into that. And there's also different subscription options and different levels of the platform that they can choose, both in terms of features and functions, as well as some payroll options that will pop up to this as well. So setting up a client is actually really, really simple inside of QuickBooks Online. Okay, let's come on over here back to our practice overview. And this is our default screen that we would see when we log into this application. Okay, and so from this, we're going to go ahead and select in the upper right-hand corner, Add Client. Okay, and when we click this Add Client, it's going to pop up a modal window, an overlay window, that's going to give us the option to set up this particular client. Okay, now we could choose to set this up as a business. We can choose to set this up as an individual. It's really kind of up to us. It's just going to really change the metrics that is going to be accounted for this particular client, as well as the fields that we're going to collect when we set this up. Okay, so let's go ahead and just mock this up. We're going to say we're going to set up Acme Brick Company. So we'll go ahead and type that in. And we're going to have to provide an email. So much of Intuit's new online-based products really require an email because so much of it is done online. And in terms of notifications and sign-ins and things of this nature, so if you don't have a client email, my best recommendation would be to use an alias to a firm address already, and just have it set up, because you can't really kind of proceed without an email being listed here. Even if it's a fake email, it needs something. So there's really kind of no way around it. Likewise, you can come over here and you could provide a phone number for this particular client. Okay. And the only thing I will tell you is it has to be put in with no spaces and no color format it goes with it. Like that. Okay. And get that. Optionally, you can go ahead and add additional information. So if you will put in what client's first name, the last name is. So let's go ahead and say this is Jane Smith's company. We have a number for her, a website, as well as the address. And this is going to make it a little bit cleaner when we go to put those records in our firm. We'll see, you know, the client record. We'll also see the address, both in terms of billing, shipping, if we choose to provide it. Okay. I'm going to leave these fields blank at the moment because they're not really required for what I want to demonstrate and talk about. Now, when you go to set up a client, it is a financial transaction as well. You're essentially allocating an account from Intuit that will be used on behalf of this client. And so there's a couple of different things that you can do with this. Okay. So first and foremost, you get the option with respect to whether you want to set it up as a subscription or not as a subscription. Okay. If you choose this not as a subscription, what it does is just puts it in the client list, but that's it. You can manage some macro information about the client. And if we were just to go ahead and leave this at the moment, we would see that particular client being added into our records as Acme Brick Company, but I can't really do anything with this. There's nothing, for example, for me to interact with. There's no way for me to be able to get into this particular client. Okay, so there's really kind of nothing for me to do. So if you just wanted to maintain a list of your clients, that's fine. You can use Intuit's tool to manage this information for you. But in practice, I don't really know why you would really ever want to do that. Most of the time, you're going to be allocating a subscription for these people, and that's what they are going to be utilizing. Okay. Now, there's a couple of different options with respect to what level of the platform to choose. There are really four, maybe five different major versions of the application that you can consider, from the lowly self-employed all the way up to the advanced. And really some of the main differences between this is, how many accounts they can add in their charts of accounts and what features that they have access to, whether or not they can, for example, bill clients, pay invoices. Well, some of those things may or may not be able to be done. For example, down here in the self-employed section, it's for Schedule C clients who need a simple solution to track mileage and expenses. So it doesn't really give you any of the AR, accounts receivable, capabilities that you would expect from a full-blown accounting system. You know, most folks, I'm going to say, end up in this plus section right here. Okay, this gives you pretty much every feature and function, although you're not going to have an unlimited amount of accounts that you could set up in the chart of accounts. You're going to have, I think it's about 200 is the max that you can go to. And then with the advanced section, it goes up from there. Now, if you're wondering like what version of the tool to choose from and what version to consider for your clients, if you go to quickbooks.intuit.com/pricing, you can kind of see a really good breakdown of some of the major features and functions that come into this. Okay. So the simple start to the plus, the advanced, the self-employed, it kind of gives you a breakdown of the different levels of functionality. Okay. Most folks end up in this plus section here. It gives you all the major things that you would be expecting for a accounting package. It also gives you some multi-user access. At that plus section, you can have five users in your client records. This isn't you. Okay, you can have two firms associated with a QuickBooks account, but for your client, you know, they could have five people putting data into their system. Okay, and so this kind of gives you a sense of what you're available to use. At the advanced section, this goes up to 25 users, so it gets increased as well. It also comes with additional features, you know, for example, like around automation, you can get a little bit more customization around access and user control, as well as batching. And there's also the ability to increase the number of accounts that the user can have and the complexity of the accounting system. Now, the other thing I want to draw your attention to is the prices of this. Now, what we're looking at right now, these are the public facing prices that the user can get. So if your client, for example, signs up on their own, these are the prices that they can expect to pay. Now, one of the things with Intuit's pricing, you can either buy it now and get essentially a couple of free months, or you could choose to get a free trial. Okay. And if you get the free trial for 30 days, you'll notice the price goes up. You won't have to provide a credit card number and you can give it a trial, you know, period. But you'll see that the price of this actually goes up quite significantly, you know, but if you go with the 50% off, well, you'll see the price actually comes down quite a lot, but essentially you're paying for it. You're going to start paying for it immediately. Kind of brilliant on Intuit's perspective. However, if the accountant pays for it, if the accountant chooses to do this, okay, they actually get an even bigger discount than they would normally get. Okay. They get a discount no matter what if they choose to go from the accountant, and the accountant signs it up. But if Intuit bills the firm and doesn't bill the client, you get an even bigger discount for the actual license itself. Okay, so if we come over here, we have another option that says wholesale discount. We bill the firm. Otherwise, we can go and bill the client directly. So what a lot of firms choose to do is that they will sign up on their clients. They will get billed for this, and then they will turn around and bill their clients. And you can either pass the savings directly onto the client themselves, or where I think would be most valuable, especially if you're doing ongoing work with the account client, is that you make this just a value-added thing. You know, they don't pay for their QuickBooks, you pay for their QuickBooks, and you know, you just build it into your fees. And it's a nice value add to the client, and you can bill whatever you'd like for it, but you can kind of see the floor in terms of what Intuit's going to bill you. So looking at this plus right here, you could see that if we pay for it, okay, we the firm pay for it, we get it for $35 a month versus if the client buys it. Okay. And let's say they don't go for the trial, or they go for the trial and said, you could see it actually goes up quite significantly. Okay. It's $70 a month. Now, this $70 a month is ultimately going to be what that client will end up paying for this. Okay. But they just get a nice little discount if they buy it now. So instead of paying $70 a month for this particular service, if the firm buys it, they get a 50% discount. And the big difference is it's for the life of the subscription. Okay. So it's 50% off for the life of the subscription. So they always get that 50% off rate. It's pretty significant. Now, if they choose to bill the client directly, it does go up, but it's still a nice discount. Instead of that $70 per month, you'll see it is at $49 per month. So my best recommendation would be you pay for it, pass it on to your client, and you know, you could charge whatever you'd like for it. And at $35, that's a pretty good reasonable rate for what you would pay for this particular service. Now, down here, another option would be the payroll options with this. Now, payroll, the only option is to directly bill the client. They've got a couple of different options here, but they do get a nice discount if they choose to buy the payroll services from the firm. The payroll core starts out at about $30 per month. The payroll elite goes up to about $62 a month. And then it goes to 125 after that. And with that, I mean, at the upper end of this package, they get a whole white glove service, personal HR person. They take care of all the reporting and so on and so forth. But these are a nice discount compared to what they would pay directly by going directly to Intuit. Okay. And so the client's welcome to kind of, you know, peruse and figure this themselves out for themselves, you know. So if we selected that $35 a month, you could see some of the pricing that comes in here, both at the payroll package. By working with the firm, they save a lot of money, and it's a win-win situation for both parties. Okay. So once the client selects, you know, kind of essentially what they would like, you know, in speaking with the accountant, they figure out what level of service they would like with the accountant. You will select what product you would like to get them at, you know, so we can go ahead and say this $35. Okay, we go ahead and select this. And then it's going to ask me to make a payment. Okay. And so we're going to go ahead and have to add a credit card file on file with Intuit, and then they're going to bill the firm going forward. Or instead, if we choose to have them direct bill the client, okay, we put this information in here. We're going to go ahead and select, you know, our plus version for this. Okay. They're going to reach out to the client, and then they will provide their own payment information to get started. So that's what it looks like to get a client set up. And once that client is set up, they're just in your list of client records. And from here, you can immediately go in and you can interact with that client data just like if it were your own books and records. Now, the next major feature of the QBOA platform that we should be familiar with is adding a team member for this. One of the cool things about the QBOA platform is that we don't ever have to share accounts. We can create our own accounts for individual staff, and then they can log in with their own username and password. this is an absolute security essential. This is absolutely what you should be doing. You should never be sharing logins with anybody inside the organization. Sharing logins makes it very insecure. And if there's a data breach or if there's a misappropriation, let's say it's fraud or some sort of malfeasance with this, if everybody was sharing accounts, well, you're not going to have any way of being able to hold people accountable. Well, the nice thing is now with the QBOA program, we can create staff accounts. We can then give them varying levels of access within QuickBooks Online. We can give them different levels of access inside of our clients. We can give them or not give them access to our own firm books and records. And then we can also limit access based on just the clients they work with and interact with. You know, it doesn't make sense, for example, to assign Steve to all clients if he only interacts with two or three of them. One of the major principles of security is siloing people just to the level of access that they need to do their jobs. So with QuickBooks Online, that's very simple to do. We can assign people just to the clients they interact with, and then we can also give them the right level of permission for what their job requirements provide. Now, there's a couple of different levels of permissions that can be provided here. We can give, for example, full permissions. And we give full permissions, they have full access to everything. They can have all the administrative accesses that are required inside of the firm. They get full access to managing client books and records. They get administrator access to client QuickBooks accounts directly. We can also give just basic access. Basic access gives very limited administrative rights to the firm records, no access to managing clients, so they can't delete clients or add clients. They get no access to the firm books. But they do get administrator access to client books and records. And this is a good level of option for staff accountants inside your organization. However, most of us live in shades of gray, and that's where the custom functionality, I think, is probably ideal. With the custom functionality, they can get specified access into administrative functions of the firm. So you can say, hey, you can have access to the sales function, but not to the vendors function. Hey, you can input records, but you can't necessarily run reports. Likewise, we can give custom access to client records. So specific levels of access, maybe we don't give them access to payroll functionality as an example there, where we can give specific levels depending on what that person is doing. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at what it would look like to setting up a team member inside of our organization. So we're just going to jump down here to the team member section of this, and you'll see that my root account here, my demo account here, is listed as the master admin. That is a special role only assigned to you. You could pass that role off to somebody else, but there will always be one designated master admin. And you can see here that that master admin has full access to everything. And if I wanted to, I could transfer that client access if need be. So that probably would be best handled by a firm partner or some sort of firm administrator. The true best practice is that you kind of create your firm administrator as a separate account and don't really use that account for day-to-day access. You create a second login for yourself and you use that one. And you kind of always want to keep the root credentials on their own so that you only sparingly use that. That's a security best practice. Now, to access a new user and to create a new user in the upper right-hand corner, we're going to go ahead and choose Add User here. And just like with adding a client, it pops down this window. We just provide a couple of fields of data and we're able to get started with this. So let's go ahead and say that we are going to create our user. We'll call it Scott Daniels. Okay, Scott L. Daniels. Okay, and let's say his email is... Scott. Okay. And we'll say it is scott@cptoday.com. And let's say Scott is a staff accountant. Okay. Now, in this next section, what we're going to go ahead and do is we're going to give and assign the different levels of permissions. So if we select this to basic, for example, he can view firm information, but he can't create firm information. He does not have the ability to create other users inside of the firm. Okay, he cannot adjust any of the subscription and billing, so he can't change a credit card on the firm's QuickBooks Online account. Okay, into the firm books. So this is the firm's QuickBooks Online, the firm's GL, the firm's chart of accounts. Okay. Can he access customers and accounts receivable? No. Okay. By doing this, I've limited Scott's ability to be able to see how much the firm is making. He can't create an invoice, nor can he see the accounts receivables. Likewise, if I select vendors and creditors, no, he can't enter bills, he can't pay bills, can't do anything like that. Likewise, he cannot manage the firm's clients. Now, if we change this to full, you'll see all of these go to yes, and he has the ability to edit and modify everything. More often than that, though, we're going to choose custom. And with this custom, this gives us the ability to kind of say yes or no access to specific things as needed. Okay. And so we can kind of fine-tune the permissions, although truthfully, as a security person and as a technology professional, I would like a little bit more definition and let's call it a little bit more resolution into each of these sections because there might be specific things that I might want to enable within accounts receivable or within vendors, but not everything. But unfortunately, with QuickBooks Online, those are only my options. I don't get a lot of distinguishing characteristics that I can choose to kind of granularly hone the privileges for the user. It's really kind of in a lot of ways all or nothing. Now, the last section of this would be assigning client access. And you'll see Acme Brick is our client that we popped up here. So if Scott interacts with Acme Brick, I can go ahead and indicate that, and Scott would then have access to that book and records. If Scott does not interact with that, I can go ahead and I can disable this, and I can not give him records access to those client records. And so that's a nice way of being able to distinguish our characteristics with this. So if I go ahead and I click save here, okay, what that's going to end up doing is going to create that account and it will also give the ability to give some training to that person, but it's going to go ahead and send them an invitation. So I notice I didn't set up a password for Scott. Okay. It's going to go ahead and send an email to Scott at CPE Today. It's going to give him the option to create his own password, log in, and he is independent. And I don't ever have to deal with his password resets or anything else like that again, because he created it himself. He can go through and update, you know, if he ever needed to change his name, his email, or anything like that, he could do that himself. Likewise, if I come over here to the edit, I can resend the invitation. So Scott, like 5 days later, says, "Hey, Steve, I didn't get it." Not a problem. I can go ahead and I can resend it. And likewise, I can delete the user if they leave the firm. At any point, I can come in, I can change what level of access they should have within the firm books and firm level privileges, as well as giving Scott access, administrator access to the different client records. All righty. So that's a little bit with respect to our firm management. Let's go ahead and have another polling question. What is the least expensive way for a client to acquire a license for QuickBooks Online? Okay, is it they purchase QBO directly from Intuit? The firm sets up their account, but the client pays for it directly. Is it the firm sets up their account and pays for it directly, or none of the above? Well, the correct answer here is the firm sets up their account and pays for it directly. It is the cheapest way of acquiring QuickBooks for your firm records. The client, if they choose to go and pay for this, it can be quite pricey, you know, and they can set this up in the sense that they can get a, you know, kind of a free trial, but I mean, the cost of that free trial is so expensive that you know, you're almost better off just kind of subscribing in on behalf of the client just to try it out for themselves because you can cancel it. Because if they choose to keep this, I mean, and they signed up on their own, I mean, the price is double compared to what the firm can get for them. Even if the firm chooses not to bill it directly, you know, they could still get a nice discount for the client. And in doing so, I think is a good value add for all players. I think that the accounting firm should always sign up directly. Now, I do want to draw your attention to kind of a cool program provided by Intuit for that professional accountants. This is for new QBO accounts, and it's what they call their 5 for 5 deal. And this is a smoking good deal, okay? So as a professional accountant in a QBOA account, you can get 5 copies of QuickBooks Online Plus for $25 a month. Now, the firm has to pay for it, okay? So I buy it. I spend $25 a month with Intuit, but I get 5 licenses of QBO plus for $5. I mean, this is the best deal. And if you're a small practitioner, you know, getting your first couple clients on board, this is a great way of doing it at a great value to both the firm and the client. And whether you charge them or not, Intuit has no insight to that. They're going to bill you $25 a month. You get 5 accounts you can do for as you'd like. So if you want to bill them full rate, you certainly can. Or if you just want to pass that savings on to the client, you can as well. So lots of great functions and features that you get with respect to the pricing that are generally not available to clients directly. It's only available to those who sign up for that QBOA program. Now, the next thing I want to take a look at here, we're going to switch into the client sample file provided by Intuit, which is the landscaping company sample file. And I want to show you the accountant's toolbox, the accountant's tools. These are great features and functions that allow you to more easily and directly interact with the client books and records and give you some of the macro level functionality that would be missing if you were to try to go and do this on your own. I mean, the client doesn't have access to this, you would. And these are features that maybe are a little bit more privileged that most clients would not be able to use effectively. You know, for example, reclassifying transactions, put yourself at 1231, put yourself at the tax return phase of this. You know, you need to clean up the book records. Having to do those one by one would be very tedious and difficult. Well, guess what? You can use the batch reclassification. Likewise, there's also some really good tools around reporting, closing off the books and closing the records for reducing risk of changing opening balances or reducing our fraud risk as well. And you can also batch write off invoices too. So pretty cool. So let's go ahead and switch into our client file and let's go ahead and take a look at what that might look like in terms of utilizing our accountant's toolbox. So if you're in the QBOA program, in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the little gear icon. Go ahead and give that a click. And about most of the way down on the far right under your company, you'll see sample company. Okay, this is going to say, hey, you're going to be signed out of your firm. Do you want to continue? We're going to go ahead and select yes or continue. And this is going to open up our sample file. Now, the sample file is awesome from Intuit because it's a great way to be able to experiment with different settings, different features and functions without, you know, changing your either book of records or your client's books of records. If you're not sure, for example, how a certain report is going to look or how, for example, things are going to be adjusted or changed if you do this particular reconciliation or what would it look like to maybe, you know, change some of the styling of invoices? Well, changing those in live data could be very disruptive to your firm or disruptive to the client. Good news is using the sample company, you can experiment all you want. The second you leave, those changes are blown away and it's exactly back to where it was. So I use the sample file all the time for experimenting with imports to see if I imported the data correctly, what it looks like, as well as experimenting with different features and functions in the account. Now, I want to draw your attention up top here. You'll see it says sample company. This is a great example of what it looks like when you're in the QBOA program and you're switching between client accounts. We would see the name of the client where it says sample company. And then if we click that, we can either go back to our practice and back to the firm books and records, or we can click all clients, or we can click into other clients listed as well. Now, in the accountant's toolbox over here, we're going to see some quick links. Most of these are available to the client as well. Okay. We also see, for example, the new window. This is kind of a cool feature that most folks don't know about, but you can run QBO in multiple tabs. And so by clicking that new window, you'll see I'm able to, for example, run this in two different tabs. So if I want to split my view and, for example, like run my sales and look at my invoices in one screen and then look at my my reports in the others and make changes, I can go ahead and do that quite easily. Now, up here on the right-hand side, these are the accountant's tools and they're reclassify transactions, reporting options, writing off invoices, and then also over here on the left-hand side, closing books. Okay, now we're going to dive into these in another episode and look at what it looks like to get a client ready for year end or for a period ending financial statement. And in this, the reclassify tool is fantastic because often we're having to change or modify specifically in the income statement level and putting things into that correct place. You know, so for example, I can come over here to my office expenses and I can look at something. I can change the time period. You know, let's maybe go back to 2020 and let's take a look at 12/31. Okay, and I can go through here. I guess maybe we need to increase our time period. I can go through here and I could find sometimes multiple transactions inside of this. I can click this reclassify button and I can move transactions around to whatever account I would like it to be. You know, so if I see something in supplies that's not in supplies, you know, maybe it is in, you know, should be in job expenses. Great. I could select multiple of those transactions and I can easily move them from one account to the other. You know, so in this particular instance, we see a bunch of charges here for fuel. I can bulk select all of these, reclassify them, and I could put them maybe out of the fuel and we could choose to put them into another account. And it might be job expenses because we want to bill them directly to the job. And so if we go ahead and select apply here, all six of those transactions will be moved from one account to the other. Likewise, if we come up here to our accountant's tools, we can come over here, and one of my favorite functions is closing the books. This is actually going to open up the account and settings section, and this is a feature of the setup. From here, we can click over on the top section where it says accounting, we can click the little pencil icon. And from that little pencil icon, this is where we can choose to close the book, and we can choose to give it maybe a month end date. Okay, if we go ahead and we select our month end, not 1921, it is 2021. We can prevent people or limit people's ability to post in prior periods. Okay, and so we can either do this and just give them a warning, but still let them do it. Or what I personally would recommend is you select this option, allow changes after a warning and entering a password. Okay, and by doing so, this allows us to prevent people from posting into prior periods. So great option with respect to kind of limiting our exposure of putting in wrong and bad data inside of our books and records. And it's also a great way of reducing our fraud risk as well. Because if people can't post into prior periods, we don't run the risk of them changing the nature of previous transactions. One of the most common things that will occur is that someone will write a check out to themselves, cash that check, and then go back to the records and change the vendor so that it looks like that check was actually written to somebody else. And without comparing the physical check or going through the online banking and looking at the actual check image, you would have no way of knowing. And so one of the best ways of reducing risk in a QuickBooks environment is by closing those books to prevent somebody from changing a transaction from one vendor to the other. Now, in terms of getting data into QuickBooks Online, you got a couple of different options. You can, for example, import data from QuickBooks Desktop, which is a very simple process. And you can also import in from Excel or comma separated values CSV files. Okay. Now, additionally, you can also use other third-party tools for getting your data into Excel as needed. But most folks would either import directly from QuickBooks Desktop or they would choose to import in Excel or CSV records. Okay. Now, to access this is quite simple in terms of doing the import in. Okay. So what we would want to do is that we would want to, inside of our either client, if we're doing this on behalf of the client or if we're doing this on behalf of the firm, come up here to the upper right-hand corner where that little gear is located, drop that down, and we're going to go ahead and choose to either import data or input desktop data. Let's go ahead and take a look at the import desktop data first. Now, this actually is not done through the web console. What you would do is you'd open up the QuickBooks Desktop application, update it, make sure everything's good to go, and then you would go up to the transfer section. I believe it's under company administration. There'll be an option that says transfer to QuickBooks Online. And what they will do is they'll push all of the company data from that QBD file directly up to QuickBooks Online. Now, my best practice, if you choose to go down this, is absolutely Make sure that your books are as clean as possible. Absolutely do this at a period ending date. So either at a 12/31 preferential or at least at a quarter or monthly ending date. So you have a clean set of records, and you're going to want to output a balance sheet, income statement from QuickBooks Desktop, which you know to be correct. And once the data is done importing into the web version, go to the report section in the web version and compare. From experience, it's going to mostly be correct, but there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to need to adjust and configure. Additionally, you can choose to import in just standard data. You can bring in bank data, customer data, vendor data. You could set up your chart of accounts, your existing products and invoices. And you can choose to just import in this information directly. And what you do is you just either import in a CSV file or Excel file. You can also choose to import in a Google Sheet. Although in practice, for my CPA audience, I think most of us are probably going to be working with Excel data. Now you could download a sample file. And if you download this sample file, it will show you the parameters that it's expecting to see and how it wants to ingest this data. The only field that you're absolutely required to provide is a name for that particular customer, and everything else is optional. But what this is going to do is it's going to import in your client files, the name, the client information. So the name of the client, the company, the type, the phone number, so on and so forth. And so you can download this sample file, replace this with your actual company data, and it will create those records automatically for you. In practice, I prefer this particular method because it gives me a lot of control over how that data is imported in. From practice and from experience, I've truthfully never really had a lot of great luck with importing in QuickBooks Desktop data. It usually comes in very fragmented, and there's a lot of other issues. There's changes in valuation for inventory. And in a future podcast, we're going to go ahead and take a look at what it looks like to move data from one to the other. I'm not saying don't do it, but I am saying that be aware that there might be some certain issues that pop up, even under the best of circumstances. Now, with respect to getting the data out of QuickBooks Online, you can actually export out a company file, which is really kind of cool. You can actually export out a working file from QBO. You can actually export out a QBD file. And what I mean by that is with that QuickBooks desktop file, you can let your client utilize QuickBooks Online. But then, you know, when it comes time to do the compilation, the review, something like that, you can actually take the file from being an online format and you can export that to the traditional desktop environment. So if you're more familiar with the desktop environment and that works well for you, you can go ahead and utilize that process. And I'll show you that here just in a second. I will point out there are some specific steps that you need to follow. This particular process is only supported by Internet Explorer. So you're going to have to, if you're using Edge or Chrome or Firefox, you're going to have to dust off Internet Explorer and use that particular tool. But I've got some specific steps here that you can choose to utilize. Now, additionally, I've also provided this special link. This link right here is hidden. You're not going to find it very easily, and it took me a long time to be able to find this particular link, but I've provided it for you. And what you want to do is just log into your client records and then literally just go to this particular link that has been provided. It's going to pop up and it's going to say, hey, you know, welcome to the QuickBooks export format. And this is going to be how you can export your client data from QuickBooks Online to QuickBooks Desktop. Okay. And so they've got a tool that you can use. They've got a migration path that you can go with, you know, that you can essentially go and pull this type of data down. And you could choose to pull down all the financial data or just some of the data, and just realize this is not a real-time thing. So if you want your desktop data, just be aware that you are going to sometimes have to wait for that particular data because it takes time for Intuit to be able to calculate it. It's not an immediate thing. But if you walk through this and you successfully complete it, all said and done, you will get a desktop file that you can use that will be as of whatever date you've indicated that you can access. That will be the QuickBooks data itself. So it's a great option of getting out of QuickBooks Online if it doesn't end up working well for you, or you just, you know, want to have a copy backup for your own purposes. So that's something you can handle with this. And I've got some steps that you can choose to follow. Okay, the last thing I want to mention is the QuickBooks Online app. Now, this is, in my opinion, kind of a hidden secret because I very rarely actually see people using the QBO application. They only interact with QBO through their web browser, through Chrome, Firefox, Edge, or something like that. But they actually do have an app that you can run on your Windows machine or on your Mac. And it offers a number of really good capabilities. For example, it's an application. So you get an icon on your desktop and your start menu, and you can just double click it and it will take you directly to your company records. And so it's the fastest way of being able to interact with that desktop, or it's the fastest way to get to your company records in QuickBooks Online. It also kind of alleviates some of the login issues. You can stay permanently signed in so that when you show up in the morning, you don't have to log in continuously to QuickBooks. You log into your computer and then you can double click the application and utilize it. It utilizes both Mac and Windows keyboard shortcuts, so it's a little bit easier to use and function. And it feels just like a general app. And we'll take a look at what this looks like in future broadcasts. But if you just go to this URL right here, okay, it's a very simple and easy process. You just go ahead and you download this app, install it on your Windows machine, install it on your desktop, Mac machine, or notebook machine, and you can just go ahead and start utilizing this. Just click this free download, and it will download the application for you. It's simple. And here are some of the minimum recommendations for how to utilize this application. All righty, that brings us to the end of our presentation for today. Let's go ahead and have our final review question. Which of the following is not a feature of the QBO Thin Client application? Is it faster and easier access to QuickBooks Online? Is it more easily switching between companies? Is it improved printing capabilities? Is it giving you the ability to open multiple windows at the same time? Okay, now, all of these are great. Unfortunately, the one thing it does not provide is improved printing capabilities. QBO, for a majority of the people, in terms of how they interact and access this, you will print through PDF. And so if you go to print checks, for example, you'll download a PDF and you'll print that PDF. That's generally how I personally recommend, especially for something like a check where alignment on the form is really important. But the printing capabilities, whether you're using the thin client or the desktop app, are 100% the same. The thin client does give you quicker and faster access to QuickBooks Online. It does make it easier to switch between different companies because it's got this wonderful tab interface, and it does give you the ability to have multiple windows open at the same time. Although truthfully, you can do this with the browser version as well, but the app version works really great as well. So what did we learn today? Well, we took a deep dive into setting up, configuring QuickBooks Online Accountant. We also looked at a lot of configuration options, both for the firm and the client. We looked at how to set up a client record. We looked at how to set up a team member record and all the different privileges and permissions that go with the team and the different levels of product that we can choose for the client. We also reviewed some of the major distinguishing characteristics of the online accountant's version, including the accountant's toolbox, some of the ways of importing and exporting data, and getting things in and out of the application. Now, this is our second episode of this series. In future episodes, we're going to continue to dive into QuickBooks Online. We're going to look at a lot of the really useful features and functions and how to, for example, master the AR capabilities and the AP capabilities, as well as how to, for example, run all different types of reports, how to memorize transactions, how to master my personal favorite tool, which is the online bank feeds. So much more great stuff coming in terms of how to utilize this incredible application. Now, I do want to remind you, if you are a financial professional, you can earn CPE credit for today's podcast. It's super simple. Head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code QB3T. Again, that is cpetoday.com, use course code QB3T. You'll take a short 5-question exam. And once you've successfully completed that exam, you'll get a completion certificate with a CPE credit, and you'll be well on your way for maintaining your professional license. So fast, affordable, easy. Go ahead and check out cpetoday.com. Use course code QB3T. If you like today's broadcast, please consider following us on social media. You can find us on most social medias at cpetoday.com. We're posting stuff all the time, news, features, and functions, and updates with respect to major things that are happening in the world of business and finance and accounting and economics. So if you like today's broadcast, please consider us following on there. And we have so much great content coming your way. In future videos, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start a series on advanced Excel, specifically looking at user-defined functions. We're going to have another episode of Excel tables and data modelings, which are incredible features and functions for managing large quantities of data and advanced analysis inside of Excel. We're going to explore Google and their most effective tools, apps, and services, and how to utilize the amazing functionalities provided by them directly. We'll also take another detailed look of office productivity, looking at the Google Workspace applications, the Microsoft 365 and Zoho, and other tools and components like it. Thank you so much for attending today's broadcast. I greatly appreciate your time and interest. If you like today's video, please consider leaving us a review wherever you happen to be watching this. Consider liking and subscribing our content. It's an absolute pleasure being with you here today, and we really appreciate you supporting our channel. Thank you. Best wishes. Good luck. I look forward to seeing you in the next broadcast soon. Take care.